Now let's go to the state that's ground zero for the latest battle over immigration and the border. Texas is always a fascinating place to focus on during an election year. Even in the off-season, we can learn about national politics in the state of America from the state of Texas. Texas already has two native sons vying for the presidency in the 2020 Democratic primary. Beto O'Rourke, the former congressman, Julian Castro, former head of HUD. But what does Texas tell us about what's going on in America? Let's ask someone who knows that state intimately. Lawrence Wright is a Pulitzer Prize winning author and journalist. He's a longtime staff writer for The New Yorker and author of a number of books, including his latest, God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. Lawrence Wright joins us from KUT, the great public radio station in Austin. Lawrence, welcome to 1A.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to have you. We were just having a conversation about immigration, and I want to talk to you about a whole lot more than immigration, but it's good that you're here because Texas is ground zero for this debate. The president says, Lawrence, that the border is in a state of crisis. Immigration apprehensions are up over the last 2 years, still way down, though, from two decades ago. But what about Texans themselves and Texans along the border? Do they agree with the president? Did they see a crisis when they look south across the border?
I think in many respects, the crisis seems to be greater in the minds of people the further that they are from the border. The border itself is a kind of different entity. You know, there is, you know, Texas, let's just take that state. You know, if you're in Dallas and, you know, you don't have very much interchange with border politics. But when you're down in Laredo or El Paso, in those places, you know, it's a completely different experience. And the experience of the border is so different. People come and go all day long. You know, students come across the border. It's an entity to itself. And I don't perceive a sense of crisis on the border itself.
So how do Texans react, or people near the border, for instance, when the president says, do what I want or I'm going to seal the border, I'll close it, or when they read reports that he actually tried to do that last month but was stopped by his advisors and officials?
There's a sense of panic because most of our trade goes through Mexico. It would be a disaster economically for Texas.
So much trade. Thousands, tens of thousands of trucks every day, not to mention tens of thousands of people who legally, legitimately cross that border in Juarez and other places every day just to go to work.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Or school. You know, we have the commerce between our two countries is terrific, and it's good for both countries.
You mentioned that people seem to have more concern over immigration as a function of how far they are away from the border. Does that hold true in Texas as well? Do people near the border within the 100-mile commerce zone around the border feel differently than people up in the panhandle?
Oh, they do. Although, you know, when you start talking about places like the panhandle where you have a lot of agriculture, you know, there's a sense of concern that a lot of the workers won't be available to them. And that, you know, already, you know, you see, you know, that there is a shortage of labor. And it's not just blue collar, you know, landscape and construction, but, you know, we have all these high-tech companies in Austin, for instance, and they're desperate for skilled tech labor. So all through the spectrum of the employment cycle, we need fresh workers. And, you know, to have that supply cut off is really threatens the growth of our economy.
Is it the same with the wall? I mean, we talked about the sealing of the border and the rhetoric of crisis. What about a physical barrier in the south of Texas? How do people see it?
Well, you know, the barrier, the border with Mexico is the middle of the Rio Grande. That's how it's defined. And of course, one thing is, you know, the river doesn't stand still. It moves around. I was down last year in Big Bend Park, and, you know, we had lunch in an old fort, and it used to be on the banks of the Rio Grande 100 years ago, but the river's a mile away. So, you know, it's hard to define where to put the wall.
And so things are changing along the border, not only culturally and politically, but physically as well. Lawrence Wright, stay with us. We're going to take a short break. And then I want to talk to you a lot about the culture and the political culture in Texas, how it's changing and what that tells us about our own American political culture across the country. More with writer Lawrence Wright is just ahead. Stay close. It's 1-8. I'm Todd Zwillick. My guest is Lawrence Wright. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, writer, and playwright. He wrote Going Clear, and his latest book is called God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. Lawrence, Molly Ivins, that famously satirical daughter of Texas, said that the state is really five places when you look at it, separated culturally and geographically, climatically and politically. It's a lot to bite off in such a big place like Texas, but you've said Texas is a harbinger of what's happening all across America. So through your eyes, what do we, the outsiders, need to understand about Texas today?
Well, the first thing I think that people should understand about Texas is that it's growing so fast that it's becoming the dominant player in America. Right now, if you project to 2050,
Lawrence, we have a bad connection on your line, so we're going to drop that and try to get a clearer line. It should only take a couple of seconds. That's Lawrence Wright. He's staff writer for The New Yorker and author of Looming Tower, Going Clear. His new book is God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. We have Lawrence back. Do we have you?
I hope so.
Oh, good. We just had a little bit of fuzz on the line. That happens from time to time. Well, yeah. I asked you what we need to understand about Texas today. Molly Ivins said it's five places, at least. What do we need to know about it?
If current growth projections continue, by 2050, Texas will have doubled in size, when it will be about the size of New York and California combined. 10% of all the school children in America are Texans right now. So what's happening in Texas is the future of America. And, you know, this is something I think that Americans don't really understand, and I think it's something that Texans don't fully appreciate, that the decisions we make here are so consequential for our entire society.
Well, let's take a couple different views of it. Let's try politics. Famously, Democrats haven't won statewide in Texas since 1994. And every single election, someone in the Democratic Party says, this is the year. This is the year Democrats are going to win statewide. But in these past midterms, Beto O'Rourke didn't win. He surprised a lot of people by coming within 3 points of Republican Senator Ted Cruz. Do you see true signs that Democrats can finally mess with Texas? Or was that result idiosyncratic to Ted Cruz?
Oh, I think that Texas is changing and becoming purple. The big signal for me was the suburbs, which have always been very bright red in Texas. And in the last election, you know, they were blue. So I think that's a signal that Texas is really changing.
We might try to dial you back one more time, Lawrence. We have some fuzz on that line. So I'll just take a moment and say that I'm speaking with Lawrence Wright, staff writer for The New Yorker, Pulitzer Prize winner, and author of several books, including God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. We're getting Lawrence back on the line in just a moment. As we discuss what Texas, bigger than many countries in the world, really tells us about the political future of America. It is a state with rapidly changing demographics, both culturally and racially and economically. Lawrence Wright just said that several of the suburbs of cities like Dallas, outer suburbs of Houston, went blue for the first time in a long time when Beto O'Rourke was running against Ted Cruz in the 2018 midterms. And when you look at the results from the 2016 election, Donald Trump's 10 or 11 point victory over Hillary Clinton statewide, those suburbs around the big cities, those were red and very red. So one of the questions is, does that point to an inherent weakness of Donald Trump and what Texans think of what he is bringing to America's politics? Or does it say something specific about either Ted Cruz or Beto O'Rourke? One thing that is certain, Beto O'Rourke, the former congressman, is hoping to parlay his unexpectedly successful performance in deep red Texas into success in a Democratic primary and a presidential election. It's true. He didn't win. And that's the first thing you have to say. But a loss of only 3 points from a congressman from one corner of the state says a lot, he hopes, about how he could perform nationwide if he can get through the primary. All right, Lawrence, I think we have you back. You were talking about those suburbs around cities like Dallas, where right. Beto O'Rourke performed much, much, much more successfully than Donald Trump ever did.
It's, you know, same thing happened in the 60s when Texas was blue. And people like my father, you know, moved to Texas, and he was an Eisenhower Republican, and that's when the state began to turn red. It was the opposite in California, you know, which was red when I was a kid, and it's just like, you know, the opposite of Texas.
I want to, we have some fuzz on your line, Lawrence. I want to apologize to everyone. It can be a little gritty listening when we have technical problems like this, but muddle through with us, because what Lawrence has to say is the most important part, even if it's a little old-timey with the static on our usual crystal clear connections. We'll feel a little bit traditional in this form of radio, Lawrence. You write about the Dallas paradox in Texas. What exactly is the Dallas paradox? What does it tell us about where Texas is headed?
You know, I came from Dallas when Kennedy was assassinated there. I was 16 years old. And there was such a stigma of being from Texas, but especially from Dallas. It was awful. You know, no other city in America was taken down the way that Dallas was. And you know, I was there after the police shootings a couple of years ago. 9 police officers were killed and within a block of where Kennedy was assassinated. And the way the city handled that was so moving and so mature and caring. And it occurred to me that, you know, Dallas was labeled the city of hate back in 1963. And I look around the country now and I feel like in many respects we've become a country of hate. And Dallas is a repository of civility inside that. So Dallas has learned a great lesson. I hope that the country can emulate Dallas in many ways in the way that it handles these civic crises.
And Texas is famous for exporting its politics all over the country. You mentioned that Texas is the cradle of several presidents, 2 current presidential candidates, 3 former presidents from Texas, although I'll quibble a bit with George H.W. Bush, who was a senator's son from Connecticut who moved to Texas. But what about the political legacy that Texas does export to the rest of the country? You said that Dallas used to be the city of hate. Texas-wide, we're seeing a pattern where an increasingly diverse demographic, increasingly diverse population continues to grow, and the politicians who control the state continue, in Governor Abbott and others, it seems to get more and more conservative. Maybe not quite in democratic reflection of the rest of the state.
Well, our elected representatives are far more conservative than the general population, and part of that has to do with gerrymandering. For instance, Austin, where I am now, is...
Oh, we seem to have lost Lawrence for the moment. We're having some technical difficulties with our connection to KUT in Austin. Stick with us. It's been a little bit of a challenge to get Lawrence on clearly, but if you do stay with us, you won't be sorry. Lawrence Wright is a staff writer at The New Yorker. He's author of God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. And we're talking about how political and demographic and cultural trends in Texas really portend what's happening and what may happen in the rest of the country. We've certainly seen that with potentially the candidacy of Beto O'Rourke. Just one example of a relatively progressive Democratic candidate who did better than anyone ever thought he should across deep red Texas against Ted Cruz. Certainly better than you would have expected after Donald Trump's commanding victory in Texas over Hillary Clinton in 2016. But this is just one of the ways to look at the state of Texas. Electoral politics is just one way. This is a demographically shifting state, and people are watching Texas to see if the shifting winds there, the shifting colors from sort of deep red to light red, maybe to a shade of purple, finally, if that happens, will tell us something about what's happening across other red states as this country continues to sort itself into red and blue political camps. And when you look at the political map of Texas as well, it really does look in many ways like America as a whole. Why do I say that? Big, deep red oceans of county after county after county across Texas that vote Republican reliably. But those counties are rural, those counties are ranches, and those counties are farm. And blue spots in the big population areas, Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso, and all along the southern border. Lawrence Wright was talking about how people who live along the border view the border and immigration very differently than people further away. We're going to take a short break as we get Lawrence Wright back on the line, getting through our technical problems here on our usual crystal clear connection to KUT in Austin. Stick with us. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is 1A. Welcome back to 1A. This is Todd Zwillick filling in for Joshua Johnson. We're still getting our technical glitches ironed out with Lawrence Wright, who is at KUT in Austin, the great public radio station there. Lawrence Wright is a staff writer for The New Yorker and author of The Looming Tower, author of Going Clear, the book about the history of Scientology, and most lately, author of God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. Do we have Lawrence on the line yet? Not quite. Oh, we do. Lawrence, are you there?
I
apologize, but you're a good soldier for sticking with us through these technical problems. Thanks a lot. Lawrence, I was mentioning how Texas exports its politics. It's one of your theses as well, not just the president's, but its political trends.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we were talking, too, about the last election in which Beto O'Rourke did surprisingly well. And not just he, but other candidates that weren't as highly touted. And I think it sobered up the Texas political establishment. They're behaving far more responsibly this legislative session than they did in the last one. And what's going to be particularly notable is in the 2020 election, which is when the census takes place and redistricting will take place all over the country. And, you know, for instance, in Texas, well, we've been so gerrymandered. In Austin, perhaps the most liberal city in the entire southern tier of the United States, we're now represented by five congressmen, four of whom are Republicans. And if in the next election the House of Representatives in Texas goes blue, which is possible, then the redistricting would be in the hands of Democrats, and it would totally change the character of Texas politics and national politics as a consequence.
No, it would be a fascinating result. I had no idea the census. Everybody knows it's important. I had no idea it was so pivotal. In Texas, you're saying this could be the tipping point, the census.
Not just Texas, Arizona, Georgia, Florida. I mean, there are many states that are like Texas in that they have been for a long period of history, historically, red, but are beginning to edge towards the center. And what we call purple essentially is centrist politics in America. And, a close election, a contested election, would be really unusual in Texas and in these other states that I mentioned, but that could have profound consequences for the state politics, and that state politics change, the change in demography of our elected congressmen and in the gerrymandering would make a total revolution in American politics.
Is there a big middle ground in Texas politics right now? We pay attention to Governor Abbott. We pay attention to Beto O'Rourke and Julian Castro because of the presidential race. Is there a significant middle that's holding in Texas that we just don't see?
Well, it's hard to see because it's not so well represented in our elected officials, because typically what's happened in Texas is that the election is the Republican primary. And in order to get elected to become the nominee, one typically runs to the right. So the people that go to vote in the Republican primary are far more right-wing than the people that would normally go to the polls in November. So that candidate who is elected in the spring during the primary is essentially the designated winner of the general election in November. Well, that's no longer assured. And I think that might make a difference in the kind of people that get nominated. And it also will make a difference if those kinds of people are, you know, the far right kinds of people that have been elected in the past in the primaries run in a general election against a real Democratic candidate, then I think they'll have a lot harder race to run.
Well, it's fascinating. Lawrence Wright, I have to let you go. I started with Molly Ivins.
A good one to start with.
And she also said that Democratic populism isn't dead in Texas. It's just sleeping. Do you buy it?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think that there are a lot of, you know, the cities are all blue and the suburbs are turning blue. So there's some slumber is being shaken off, I would say.
Lawrence Wright, I can't thank you enough for graciously sticking with us during our technical difficulties. You hung by and we really, really appreciate it. Lawrence Wright, staff writer for The New Yorker, author of Looming Tower and Going Clear. His latest book is God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. Lawrence, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
We've been hearing from lots and lots of you from 1A listeners, and we're going to get your comments continually in the show. And I want to thank you as well for sticking with us through some fuzzy connections. Let's just pretend it was radio from the 20s, shall we, when listening wasn't always crystal clear in the high bandwidth fiber optic age. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington. It's distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Todd Zwillick, in for Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening and for being with us. This is 1A.